hence their status, maybe through the oath scars on their hands. And she is. And as far as we knew, no one has made a direct claim on this mountain. I hope we aren't intruding.
Not at all,
the Fey woman said, but I thought her sheen jittered a little.
We venture into the mountains from time to time, but we don't consider them truly part of our home. There is room enough for both.
So this is basically a vacation spot for you, Marco said. He raised his eyebrows at the cave around us. You have interesting tastes.
The landscape has qualities that appeal in their own way. I suppose you've noticed other signs of our presence on your travels?
We didn't think you'd been here recently, Nate put in. Otherwise, we'd have reached out to you.
Did you pass on word to your people elsewhere?
The Fey woman asked. She gave us a demure smile.
I know we've had our disagreements in the past. If there will be more shifters arriving, it would be best for us to know they're here on your request, to avoid any awkward encounters.
Like a Fey deciding to incinerate another shifter? We aren't expecting anyone to join us, Aaron said. But please, if you come across another rogue lurking around, bring the matter up with us before taking any action. The Fey woman bowed her head in a way that didn't look all that apologetic to me. My skin prickled. Maybe the dragon shifters and the Fey had worked together long ago, but right now I didn't trust them at all.
Is there any particular reason you're here now?
West asked, his voice tight. He obviously shared my sentiments.
We were simply passing by and noticed you doing the same.
The Fey woman tipped her head.
All four of the Alphas and their long-lost mate up here together. You must be making this trip on a matter of some importance.
She said it as a statement, but the question was clearly implied. My hands clenched. She claimed she was helping us, but every sense I had screamed that she had other intentions. I had no interest in sharing my mother's story with her.
Serenity is still adjusting to her new role, Aaron said.
He was the only one who called me by my full name, the name my mother had urged me to keep secret the entire time we'd been in hiding, and sometimes it still felt as if he were talking about a stranger. Right now, faced with the Fey, I appreciated the formality of it.
There aren't many places a dragon shifter can exercise her powers without needing to worry about discretion.
I suppose your people must at least know you've traveled up here,
the Fey woman said.
They'll be awaiting your return.
We'll be back soon enough, Marco said. I restrained a frown. What was she getting at? Maybe it was time we started asking more of the questions. I didn't want to tell her much about Mom, but she might know things I didn't. My mother came up here at least once in the last several years, I said. She liked to visit the mountains, too. I don't suppose you passed by her, then? The Fey woman pursed her lips.
I can't recall the last time I saw any dragon shifter in these heights. I can ask my companions if they have more knowledge.
That was an incredibly vague answer. And if she could tell the Alphas were Alphas just by sensing it, surely she picked up on the marks Mom had left behind on the walls. Maybe she just assumed we'd already seen those.
It sounds as though you're more familiar with this mountain than we are in general, Aaron said. Is there anything we should know for safe passage from here on?
The Fey woman's mouth curled into another smile,
but this one looked even chillier than the last.
You're the five most powerful shifters alive. I'm sure there's nothing on this mountain that could threaten you. I suppose I shouldn't delay you in your journey any longer. We are moving on now, so I doubt our paths will cross again.
Thank you for your rogue cleanup services, Marco said.
Our pleasure,
the Fey woman replied without any hint of irony. She stepped backward to where a thin stream of sunlight penetrated the cave ceiling. With a quick leap, her form wavered and vanished into the glow. Should we be worried? I asked, staring up toward the sliver of daylight. Was she still here, only invisible, or could we assume she'd completely left? I didn't want to talk too freely in case it was the former.
We'll just have to wait and see, Aaron said a little grimly. Let's keep moving while we have the light.
5. Ren. Someone's mouth was moving over my bare skin, searing it with hot breath and the graze of his teeth. My breath was already coming in sharp pants. He kissed his way down my throat between my breasts and over my belly. His tongue scorched me everywhere it touched. His fingers trailed down my sides, even hotter than his mouth. They came to rest on my hips, just as his face hovered over my sex. A thrill of anticipation and need tingled through me. I arched up encouragingly, and he took me in his mouth. His tongue slicked over my clit, sending sparks of bliss all through my body. I whimpered as he suckled hard. He was devouring my core as if he meant to swallow me whole, and I was all for it. I moaned, weaving my fingers into the soft, smooth strands of his hair. A deeper need swelled inside me, an ache to feel him inside me, all of him. To know he was mine and I was his, now and forever. Please, I murmured. Please. I tugged at his hair and he raised his head. West's dark green eyes gleamed. His lips curled with a satisfied smile and... I jerked awake, my heart thudding. The chilly mountain air cooled my flushed face. The weight of the thick sleeping bag enveloped me. I was completely covered up and completely alone. It had only been a dream. But fuck, what a dream! My panties were sopping beneath the leggings I'd worn to bed, the ache of need lingering deep in my belly. I had the urge to reach down and take care of things myself, but I wasn't actually alone in the tent. Marco lay on one side of me with a murmur of breath that reminded me of the little mews sleeping cats made. And West, the real West. I turned my head to look at him instinctively, as if to confirm he was definitely still the grouchy, standoffish guy I'd had to badger into even kissing me the other day. Although it had been quite a kiss when he'd given in. My eyes found his form in the darkness, lying on his side a couple feet away from me. But not asleep. Just enough of the light from the campfire outside seeped through the tent wall for me to make out his features, to see him staring right back at me. My pulse skipped again as our gazes met. I expected him to pull his way, to roll over and shut me out. Instead, his eyes stayed locked with mine. They didn't hold the same lustful warmth as in my dream, but a tingle crept over my skin all the same. His expression was tense, but I also saw the same hunger I had when he'd looked at me naked after my shift. As if he were just a hair's breadth from reaching out and yanking me to him. As if he'd woken up from the exact same dream I had. Suddenly I was sure that was what had happened. I could smell his arousal in the air.
a waft of piney musk. But he was fighting it. I wet my lips, and his gaze twitched down to my mouth. Before I could decide what to do about this weird but oh-so-tempting moment, Marco stirred at my other side. He scooted closer and nuzzled the back of my neck.
"Someone feeling the need for a little middle-of-the-night action," he murmured in his languid voice. I guessed it wasn't just West's arousal scenting the air. My nerves hummed with anticipation. I needed something, that was for sure.
I arched into Marco encouragingly, and he kissed the crook of my jaw. The zipper of my sleeping bag hissed as he eased it down for better access. I tipped back my head to offer more of my neck to him. Marco branded me with his hot mouth, drawing his body against mine. His hand traveled up under my shirt. He groaned when his fingers brushed over my unconfined breasts. He stroked them skillfully, tracing pleasure all through my chest, and I whimpered. My gaze slid back down to meet West's again. He was still watching. His pupils had dilated, and I could hear the quickening of his breath in time with mine. My awareness of his desire turned me on even more. I gasped as Marco pinched one of my nipples.
"Tell me what you want, princess," he said huskily. "Anything at all, it's yours."
I didn't think I'd ever wanted anything more than for West to cross that gap between us and add his mouth and hands to the mix. Just the thought of it made me twice as wet between my legs. In that instant, my hormones overrode common sense. I reached out my arm toward West to beckon him over. Before I'd even finished the gesture, West flinched. His gaze snapped away.
"Don't," he said, his voice thick with strain.
He shoved off his sleeping bag and threw himself onto his feet. With a slap of the tent flaps, he stalked out. Marco chuckled under his breath.
"He'll come around, princess, especially after he sees how good the rest of us have it. But don't worry. I can make you see stars all by myself."
He rolled me toward him and caught my mouth with his. The heat of his kiss washed over me. It was hard to think much about West when I had this much man right in front of me. I kissed Marco back, letting all my need and desire spill into the places where our bodies touched. He let his hands slip lower, teasing over my stomach and tracing the waist of my leggings. When I kissed him harder, he dipped his hand right under the fabric. He cupped my sex, grinning against my mouth as I moaned. His mouth claimed mine again, his tongue tangled with mine. His fingers stroked over the sensitive folds between my legs with increasing pressure. I clutched him, shivering with pleasure, riding his hand.
"That's right, princess," Marco murmured. "That's my girl."
He kept up his gentle caresses as he kissed his way down to my chest and tugged my shirt up with his other hand. His breath spilled over my bare skin. He swirled his tongue around my breast before sucking the nipple into his mouth. A little cry of pleasure burst from my lips. I felt ready to explode.
"You taste so good. I need to taste you everywhere."
Marco gave my breast one more swipe and then ducked lower. I whimpered in dismay when his hand left my sex, but it was only to ease my leggings down. A second later, he lowered his face between my legs. Like West in my dream. Fragments of that imagined intimacy darted through my head as Marco swirled his tongue over my clit. I gasped, arching up, and he licked lower, teasing my opening. Carried on the rising wave of bliss, I almost felt as if both he and West were there, my dream and reality merging into one. The ache in my belly came back, twice as strong. My hips bucked, wanting more, wanting everything. I gripped Marco's hair, but he didn't release his claim on my pussy. He laved my clit until I was trembling. One finger, then two, tested my wetness, and then slid up inside me. I moaned again as the pleasure rose higher. Marco nipped me just hard enough to send a brief spark of pain through the pleasure, and that tipped me over the edge. I came, shuddering against his mouth. The orgasm washed over me, and the stars Marco had promised flashed behind my eyes. Marco smiled and kissed my sex again as my tremors subsided. He eased up beside me, pulling my body flush against his, and brushed his lips against mine. My tart flavor lingered in his mouth. I pressed closer to him, sated and yet still hungry. The hard length of him bulged against the fly of his pants. His hips rocked against me as his hands caressed my ass, sending fresh sparks all through my nerves. It would be so easy to peel off his pants and open myself to him, to solidify our mate bond and tie us together for life. "Ran," Marco mumbled against my mouth. I heard the wanting in his voice. An awful lot of me wanted it too. But as we rolled with him on top of me now, my gaze dropped to West's empty sleeping bag. This whole encounter had started with the wolf shifter, with him and that scorching dream. And here I was getting down and dirty with Marco instead. Could I really know what I wanted right now, in the heat of the moment? The mate bond, it was for life. When I accepted it with each of the guys, I wanted to be absolutely sure, no room for doubts, no misguided lust clouding my thoughts. Marco adjusted himself over me so our bodies aligned perfectly, his erection pressed between my legs. I was drowning in the heat of him. I touched his cheek and eased him back after another kiss. He grinned down at me, his eyes so bright with longing that guilt twisted my stomach. The grin faltered when he took in my expression. "Princess?" I drew in a shaky breath. "I'm sorry. I don't think I'm ready. Not quite yet." He couldn't hide the disappointment that darted across his face before he schooled it into his usual cool nonchalance. He nuzzled my hand, his smile coming back.
"Ren, I'm not going to push, but you understand why I want you so much, don't you? My lovely Princess of Flames, you have no idea how much you mean to me already."
The soft words brought a flutter into my chest. "You hardly know me," I couldn't help pointing out.
"I know you enough."
He bent his head close to mine, not to kiss me, but to whisper by my ear. The rich, spicy coffee scent of him filled my nose. My mouth practically watered.
"I know you're the most determined woman I've ever met," he said. "I know you'll do anything to defend the people you love. I know you've got a sharp enough tongue to rival mine sometimes. I've never cared about anyone as much as I care for you. You can take that as a promise."
The flow of his words against my ear left me tingling. He moved above me, and I almost whimpered at the feel of his cock still hard against me. My fingers gripped his shoulders. He rocked against me gently, sending shivers through my core. It was getting hard to think again. So much of me was screaming for another release.
"I hope you have at least a few positive feelings about me,"
Marco added lightly. "I think that should be pretty obvious," I muttered. But that flippant answer didn't feel good enough. "It's not about you. This whole situation just... it still doesn't feel normal to me. I've never committed to anyone, let alone four guys in just a few days. You grew up knowing it'd be like this. I can't wrap my head around the idea that fast."
"I know, Princess, I know." He stilled and kissed my cheek. "I'll wait. I just can't help wanting to start our lives together as quickly as possible, now that I've found you."
My throat tightened a little at the emotion in those words. "I'll be ready soon," I said. I'm getting there. At least, I hoped I was. The feelings in my chest suddenly felt a lot more tangled. Lust was easy. Love? Was I really going to be able to handle giving my whole heart to all four of these guys, as drawn to all of them as I was?
6. Marco. I'd been through plenty of pain in my life. You named it, I'd probably been there at least once. But I'd never experienced any torture quite as exquisite as waking up next to my mate, who still wasn't entirely my mate. Ren was still sleeping. Her expression was soft and her hair a mess of dark brown waves spilling from the top of the sleeping bag. I wanted to kiss her gently, like the angel she looked like. And I also wanted to pull her to me and ravish her until she agreed to finishing what we'd started and come so close to ending last night. My cock hardened just remembering the feel of her, her smell flooding my nose, her taste filling my mouth, the little cry she'd made as she came. I could take her even higher than that. All I needed was for her to give me the chance. It was going to take time for her to come around. That was understandable. What we'd all been waiting for across nearly 2 decades, she'd only had a few days to process. I was a feline, wasn't I? I knew how to give a person space. As painful as that space might be. I stretched on the hard ground, willing my erection to subside. That fey woman, thinking of her, was a good mood killer. I'd bet if she touched my dick, it'd shrivel up like a fallen autumn leaf. There. That did the trick. All cooled down below. I peeled off the sleeping bag and ducked out of the tent. Nate had a pan sizzling over the fire. We'd brought a good stock of cured bacon, but even though it didn't need cooking, it tasted twice as good fried. The salty, meaty smell tickled into my nose. My stomach grumbled. I wasn't normally much of a hiker, and all this mountain climbing had left me ravenous. If I couldn't devour Ren the way I wanted, at least I could have my way with breakfast. "Where's our wolf and eagle?" I asked, sinking down by the fire and stretching out my legs. The smoke curled up toward a small gap in the cave ceiling above us. "And how long until you surrender some of that bacon?" "You can have it now," Nate said with a hint of a smile. The bear looked more relaxed this morning, even though he'd been up the second half of the night on guard duty. He flipped a couple of strips off the pan with surprising grace and tossed them to me. I snatched them out of the air and dug in. The hot, crispy pork seared my tongue, but the sting was worth it. "Biscuits," Nate added, tossing over the bag. The doughy lumps didn't appeal half as much as the meat, but they made for good energy at the start of the day. Nate dug into one of his own as he tossed a few more strips of bacon onto the pan. Aaron and West are taking a quick survey of the area farther down the cave in both directions. Aaron didn't want to be careless after yesterday. Because of the Fey woman or because of the weasel, both were reason for concern. I tore a biscuit in half and shoved the rest of my bacon inside to form a rough sandwich. In a minute, I'd gulped that down and was reaching for another. Nate gave me a bemused look when I started eyeing the pan again. "We all need to eat," he said. "Ren is still sleeping?" I nodded. I figured the princess deserved her beauty rest. Nate bristled slightly, as if he thought I'd meant that remark as an insult. "She's been holding up well." "Of course she is," I said, waving him down. Ren had been even less prepared for this kind of physical strain than the rest of us, and she'd shifted into dragon form twice that first day. I'd have let her sleep until noon without judging if I could have, but we did need to get to the end of this journey soon. The biscuits were already getting a tad bitter with staleness. "West was sleeping by the fire when I got back from sentry duty," Nate said with a prodding tone. "Instead of in the tent." I shrugged. "You know how Wolf Boy is. He's still got issues with our Princess of Flames being anywhere near his personal space." The canine Alpha was an idiot. The mate we'd all been waiting our entire lives for had been right there in front of him, practically begging him to come to her, and he'd turn tail in the opposite direction. He had to want her just as much as I did. I couldn't understand that kind of self-denial at all. Footsteps sounded on the rocky ground. Aaron came into view, his thoughtful expression perking up at the smell of the food. He ambled over to the fire and grabbed a piece of bacon right out of the pan. Show off. I eyed the eagle shifter as he hunkered down by the fire. What exactly had he done to make Ren choose him first? Choose him and still hesitate about the rest of us? I was at least that bird brain's equal. No reason for concern up ahead, he said. At least not from what I saw. Not behind us either, West said, emerging from the shadows in the other direction. He flexed his neck with a crack of his joints. Let's eat and get going. Where's Ren?
Coming, coming,
a muttered voice carried from the tent. Our dragon shifter pushed past the flap, running her fingers through the rumpled waves of her hair. Even barely awake and dressed in wrinkled clothes, she was the most gorgeous specimen of womankind I'd ever seen. I took her in, enjoying the eyeful. She lifted her head and sniffed.
Bacon again.
Take what you can get, Sparks, West said, his already gruff expression shuddering even more. Yeah, Wolf Boy had a few issues to work through. Too bad for him. That just left more room for me to make my moves. Ren ambled over.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I'd eat nothing but bacon for the rest of my life if I wouldn't end up with scurvy.
She sat down cross-legged between Aaron and me and hummed happily as Nate passed her a couple strips. Even the way she crunched into the bacon was sexy enough to get me half-hard again. Fuck, this mate bond thing was brutal, in the most tantalizingly torturous way. A much less pleasant sensation twisted in my gut. My body stilled. I frowned as my stomach gurgled and roiled. I didn't like the feel of that at all. What was going on with my innards all of a sudden?
What's wrong, Marco? Aaron asked, being Mr. Eagle Eyes.
Nothing, I said with a dismissive gesture.
Just a little.
I'd been going to say it was just indigestion, but before I could get the words out, a feverish flush washed through my body. My stomach outright lurched, heaving up toward my throat. There was nothing I could do but spin around before I vomited the food I'd just eaten onto the ground.
Ren. Marco knifed over with a sickly gurgle. I jumped to my feet, my pulse hiccuping. My fingers dug into the biscuit I'd just taken. The salty flavor of the bacon went sour in my mouth. The other guys sprang up, too. Aaron ran to Marco's side.
I'm fine,
the jaguar shifter protested, right before he gagged again, clutching his stomach. West eyed him, his stance rigid. Nate took a step toward him and stopped, his hand falling to his abdomen. A sudden sweat gleamed on his forehead.
He's not fine, he said, and I don't think I am either.
The food, West snapped. He dropped down by the pack we'd filled with our meal supplies, leaning close to take in a deep breath. He smelled the package of bacon, tossed it aside, and reached for the biscuits. As he pressed his nose to the bag's opening, his eyes narrowed. He inhaled again, slow and careful.
They're tainted, he said.
I hardly had a chance to wonder how or what exactly that meant. Nate barged around the fire and smacked the biscuit I'd been holding from my fingers. I blinked at him, shaking my stinging hand.
Sorry, he said, his mouth twisting. I couldn't let you.
He staggered over to the cave wall and sank down. Aaron's head had jerked toward West.
What is it? How serious?
Some kind of toxin,
West said. He pulled out one of the biscuits and broke it open to take another careful sniff.
A natural substance, not artificial. Hard to pick up if you're not looking for it, which obviously was the point.
They've been poisoned? I burst out. What are we going to do?
How many of these did you eat?
West asked Marco. A couple? Marco muttered. He wiped his mouth, his dark hair slanting over his hooded eyes. He kept his face averted, as if ashamed, as if he thought I'd feel anything other than concern and sympathy seeing my mates in this state. My hands balled at my sides.
I only had one,
Nate said by the wall, his voice strained. A shudder ran through his sprawled legs.
They're not laced very heavily, West said. To make it harder for us to notice. You're feeling the effects, obviously, but I'd be surprised if it's enough to kill you.
Marco snorted.
Oh, that's comforting.
If he could still manage sarcasm, he couldn't be in absolute agony. But he was clearly feeling pretty wretched. His arm was tightly wrapped around his belly. I looked from him to Nate, wanting to be with both of them, comforting them at once. Who could have done this? Who would have wanted to do it? Do you think that weasel yesterday? West grimaced.
There's a faint scent that says mustelid to me. They all have that oily thing going on. I'd say he's our culprit, definitely.
That answered the why, at least. The rogues had wanted to attack us any way they could, and we didn't have to worry about more harm from that quarter, because the Fae had taken care of that enemy yesterday. But when could have he done it? We all ate biscuits yesterday morning, and we were fine. They've been in the pack since then, haven't they? Aaron nodded.
And it hasn't been out of our sight. There were times when we weren't paying a lot of attention to the supplies,
Nate pointed out,
while we were packing up the tent, during the lunch stop. You'd think we'd have scented the weasel himself if he came that close.
West set down the bag of biscuits, his eyes narrowing.
It's almost as if he snuck around us by magic, isn't it?
Aaron gave him a sharp look.
We're better off not making accusations where we have no proof. No,
West agreed, straightening up.
But it's something to keep in mind.
Magic. Did he think the Fae had helped the weasel shifter get to us? But even if they wanted to hurt us, why would they have killed their ally afterward and pretended to be ours? I wasn't sure if it was safe to ask. The Fae woman had said her people were on their way off the mountain, but if they'd resort to poisoning, we obviously couldn't trust anything they'd said. And the way she'd appeared out of nowhere, how could I be sure they weren't listening to our conversation right now? An eerie prickling ran over my skin. Marco pushed himself back toward the fire away from the puddle of sick. Like Nate, he was sweating, his face grayed between the gleam of perspiration. His arm wobbled as it supported his weight, but his eyes were mostly clear. I knelt next to him, gripping his shoulder in a way I hoped showed how much I cared about him. You should rest until you feel better. I glanced over at Nate. You too. I don't want you making yourselves any more sick than you already are. My gaze moved to Aaron. He was the one who'd spent the most time studying. Maybe he'd gone through some medical books in his reading. Is there anything we can do to help them recover quickly? Aaron's bright blue eyes were solemn.
Every poison has an antidote, but we're pretty short on supplies up here. And we can't be sure of exactly what poison it is. West, we brought the first aid kit from the car, didn't we? Do you have activated charcoal in there?
West's gloom momentarily lifted.
Probably. We've had issues with drugs among the teen shifters, so we like to keep that on hand in case of an overdose. Let me find it.
As he shuffled through the packs, I went to Nate's side. The bear shifter leaned his head toward me when I touched the side of his rugged face.
I'll be all right, he said a little hoarsely. The poison will just have to run its course.
But we were so much weaker while two of my alphas could barely sit up. I nuzzled his arm, my helplessness tearing me up inside. My mates needed me, and there was nothing I could do.
Even my dragon form couldn't burn the poison out of them. And of course, Nate had to act all stoic, as if my worrying was a bigger problem than him being fucking poisoned. I gritted my teeth. If that weasel shifter hadn't already been sizzled up by fey magic, I'd have been tracking him down right now. And I wouldn't have stopped to ask questions, either. A nice little dragon snack. That's what he'd have turned into. West hurried over, carrying a jar of black powder. He scooped some onto a small spoon and offered it to Nate.
It tastes like crap, but it'll help pull the poison out of your stomach.
Nate gulped down the powder and made a face. He started to try to push himself onto his feet, and I caught his arm. No way. Take it easy for once. I need you getting better, not running yourself into the ground. He eased back down, but hesitantly.
We shouldn't stay here very long. There were other rogues that got away. They might still be following us. Or others who want to do us harm,
West murmured darkly.
And we just lost a significant portion of our food supply,
Marco put in. He'd stretched out on his back, his muscled chest rising and falling with halting breaths.
Well, I guess this trek just got a lot more exciting.
7. Wren. The open air tingled over my wings. I swooped across the mountainside, reveling in the glide of my dragon's body. After so long cooped up in the caves, the sense of freedom made me giddy. Part of me longed to flap those wings as hard as I could and soar all the way around the towering peaks, but I reined my impulses in. I wasn't out here to have fun. My sharp dragon eyes scanned the rocky terrain again. Aaron had been right to doubt the hunting possibilities up here. I hadn't spotted anything living at this level of the mountain. He was following me now in eagle form, conducting his own search, while keeping me in view, just in case I lost control of my shift. I didn't exactly like having a babysitter, but it was kind of comforting, all the same. I hadn't gotten a lot of warning the last two times I'd run out of energy and had to shift back. I swerved around to glide lower down the slope to where a few sparse trees and shrubs managed to cling to the rock. The deepening evening dark hid my immense, scaled form from anyone who might have glanced up from the town below. All I could see of Sunridge was a faintly speckled glow amid the shadowed landscape between the mountains. While Marco and Nate had been recovering, West, who seemed to have the sharpest nose out of all of us, had gone through the rest of our food stores. Along with the biscuits, we'd had to chuck out a bunch of beef jerky and a bag of apples. My precious Doritos were safe, but they weren't going to get us very far. So, while hunting wasn't proving very fruitful, we didn't have much choice but to try. Once we'd started walking again, slower to accommodate the weakened guys, we'd been lucky to find a gap in the ceiling wide enough for my dragon shape to fit through. It had been a tight squeeze. My attention jerked back to the present. A shadow had moved amid the sparse brush. A large hare, hopping tentatively from one shrub to the next. Not much of a meal for five, but I'd take what I could get at this point. I swooped down, extending my forelegs. The hare froze at the sound of my descent. At the last second, it decided running might be a better strategy. Too late. My taloned foot snatched it up, one claw severing its neck to stop it from squirming. Killing it had been easier than I'd expected. Some natural instinct had taken over. I remembered what West had said the other night after he'd killed a deer. We're all predators here. And at the time, I thought he was just talking about the alphas. But he could have meant me, too. I didn't ever want to be used to killing things. My muscles were starting to twitch with the need to let go of this form. I'd held it for a while now, longer than the last two times, but I didn't want to push my luck. I shot up the mountainside toward the crevice I'd emerged through, Aaron circled around after me, a smaller rabbit in his own grasp. The prickling dug deeper into my muscles. My dragon's jaw clenched. I had to hold on. If I transformed back into human form out here on the mountain slope totally naked? If we were too far from the cave, even Aaron wouldn't be able to get me back in time before I froze to death. And then there would be no dragon shifters left at all. I pushed my wings through the air. It no longer felt so exhilarating. I spotted my salvation up ahead. A thin stream of smoke trickled up into the cold evening air. I plunged toward it. The rough rock edge scraped over my scales as I dove through. I transformed as I fell, hitting the ground on knees already partly human. The impact jarred my bones. But I still had the hair, its thick fur soft between my clutched fingers. Nate hustled over with my clothes. The bear shifter was still moving more sluggishly than usual, but he'd regained a healthier color as the day had gone on. The charcoal West had given him, and Marco, seemed to have helped a lot. I hated to think what might have happened if they'd eaten more biscuits. Or if we all had. I let Nate drape my jacket over my shoulders to fend off the worst of the chill, and then tugged the rest of my clothes on as quickly as I could. I was shivering before I was half done. I hurried over to the fire where Nate had already brought the hare and Aaron's rabbit. My eagle shifter was just pulling on his shirt. The glimpse of his well-muscled chest. Seriously, what was that, an 8-pack? Disappearing under the fabric was enough to send a completely different sort of shiver through me. Okay, now I was warm. Marco was lounging by the fire, looking a lot less pained now, too. But I knew the poison had hit him harder than it had Nate, probably because he'd gotten a bigger dose of it. His mouth still twisted a little when he bent over to grab the granola bar West tossed to him. And his joking didn't have quite the same lightness as it usually did.
"Those rogues had better not mess with us again," he said flippantly. "I really have a bone to pick with them now. And a few I'd like to shove into various parts of their body. A nice sharp rib through the gut would be just the thing."
West rolled his eyes. He leaned over to poke at the fire. We were getting low on wood, too, I knew. It had been too heavy for us to carry very much, and we hadn't been able to scavenge any to replenish our supply since we'd entered the caves. Maybe I'd need to make a different sort of trip above ground tomorrow morning.
"They obviously didn't do that much damage to you," West said to Marco. "You're still shooting your mouth off as much as always."
Marco gave him a baleful look. "It takes a lot more than a couple of tainted biscuits to take down the leader of all feline kin."
"We don't know what they'll try next."
Nate dug a knife into the hare's pelt to skin it.
"We'll have to stay extra alert on watch tonight."
"Do you think we really have to be worried about people other than the rogues?" I ventured. I still wasn't sure how wise it was to mention the Fae directly. West hadn't done more than insinuate that they might be involved this morning. Aaron clearly realized what I meant.
"There are treaties between all the major supernatural communities," he said. "Attacking the leaders from one community unprovoked would bring about major consequences. It would be a huge risk." "If it could be proven who was involved," West muttered. "Just make it easier for someone else to do the job and you can get off scot-free."
"Have relations between the different communities been so bad they'd want to get rid of us?" I asked. Aaron shook his head.
"I wouldn't have thought so. It's possible, but West is jumping to the most dire explanation. Not the most likely." "Easy to say when you can just fly on out of here if the going gets tough, Eagle Boy," Marco said.
His tone was teasing, but I saw Aaron's jaw twitch. He'd told me a few nights ago how the other kin groups tended to see the avians as something lesser, and therefore to see him as the least important of the alphas. He didn't buy into that belief, but off-the-cuff comments like that must still carry a bit of a sting. I knew he'd never leave us behind, no matter how tough the going got. "Except he wouldn't," I said. "We're all doing the best we can."
"The best we can would be to get out of this mountain already," West said. "I don't suppose you have any idea how much longer that is going to take, Sparks."
I grimaced at the nickname, but my gut nodded at the same time. I'd still been feeling the internal tug toward whatever was waiting for us, but I had no idea how much farther we had to go. If I could have just raced ahead on my own... But that would be stupid, and exactly what anyone trying to get rid of me would want. These attacks had always been about the dragon shifters first. The rogues wanted my line eliminated. My alphas had only gotten hurt because they stood in the way. "It can't be that much farther," I made myself say. "There can't be that much more mountain."
"And tomorrow, Marco and I should be able to keep up the usual pace," Nate said.
He set the skinned carcass over the fire. The flames licked up over the meat, sending a mouth-watering roasting scent into the air.
"There's no point in stewing over things we can't know. We just prepare as well as we can, and we'll be ready for whatever happens."
I wish I could feel the same easy confidence. I couldn't even be sure of holding a shift for more than 10 minutes at a time. But if West's question had been a little harsh, he wasn't wrong. The four of them were here because of me, because of this quest Mom had sent me on. If Marco and Nate had gotten more than just sick, that would have been on me too. My fingers itched with nothing around to pilfer. Everything around me was an unappealing target. Because it was all too close to being mine, I realized. Somewhere during the last few days, my mind had completely adjusted to the idea that the four guys around me and I shared an inexplicable connection, one that made them part of my inner circle, which until now had included only me, my mom, and Kylie. There was no relief in stealing from the people I trusted to be on my side. The unease stayed coiled in my belly all through dinner. My hunger had faded, but I forced a decent portion of rabbit down, followed by a granola bar, just to keep my energy up. Marco and West took the first guard shift. I went to help Aaron set up the tent while Nate finished securing the campsite. As my fingers grazed Aaron's here and there, as he brushed past me to fix one of the poles, another kind of hunger started to well up inside me. The need to feel that connection between us, to remind myself that it was right for them all to be here with me. When we ducked inside, I took his hand and pulled him down to sit on top of my sleeping bag with me. He gathered me in his arms and kissed me. In that moment, with his lips parting mine and the heat of his body against me, all my worries faded. I was here, where I was meant to be, with the men I was meant to be with. I eased us down onto our sides on the padded surface, wanting to feel him against me from head to toe. He hooked his arm around me, his thumb teasing over the bare skin of my back just beneath my shirt. I quivered with pleasure and kissed him harder. The tent flap rasped. I eased back from the kiss and glanced up. Nate had come in, his tall frame stooped to avoid toppling the tent. Heat flared in his dark brown eyes as he took us in, but he hesitated, as if unsure whether to continue forward or head back out. Suddenly, just having Aaron with me didn't feel like enough. I needed more. I needed to be completely wrapped up in the bond of desire and affection that ran between all of us. I'd almost given in to that urge with Marco and West yesterday. The guys thought it was normal. Why should I hold back? I drew in a breath and held out my hand. A smile split Nate's face. He hunkered down at my other side, pressing a kiss to the back of my neck. And just like that, I was surrounded by warmth. The musky pepper of the bear shifter's scent mingled with the salty tang of my eagle. I inhaled it deeply and pulled Aaron into another kiss.
Two pairs of hands traveled over my body. Two sets of lips marked my skin. Aaron's tongue twined with mine as Nate nipped the crook of my shoulder. The bear shifter looped his arm over me to caress my breasts. Aaron's fingers traced over my waist and tugged my hips closer to his. The bulge of his erection pressed against me, tantalizingly hard. I arched into it with a whimper. Nate eased up my shirt, and the eagle shifter pulled back to let the other alpha peel it right off of me. Then Aaron made quick work of my bra. I yanked at his own shirt, eager to see the hardened chest I'd only gotten a glimpse of an hour ago. He stripped it off, and Nate did the same with a chuckle behind me. When they both slid closer again, the heat between us, bare skin to bare skin, was outright burning. Aaron claimed my mouth, cupping my bare breasts at the same time. The peaks pebbled with a single touch. Nate started kissing his way down my spine. Every press of his lips sent an urgent pang of bliss through me. I moaned and squirmed, the desperation for release, any kind, whatever I could get, building inside me. Nate paused at the small of my back, flicking his tongue over the sensitive skin there. I whimpered encouragingly. Aaron teased my nipples into even stiffer peaks with a swivel of his thumbs. Every sweep of them across those tips stoked the flame of need inside me. Then, Nate's hand slipped over my ass and between my legs. I let out another moan, pressing into his touch. My panties felt soaked through. Could he feel how turned on I was even through my pants? Aaron dipped his head to suck the tip of my breast into his mouth. Nate stroked my sex. A gasp slipped from my lips. The sensations of their combined attentions were overwhelming, but oh so good. I rocked my hips and my clit brushed Aaron's erection. All at once I couldn't stand the longing anymore. I wrenched at his slacks, fumbling with the button. I yanked the pants partway down. Aaron groaned as I palmed his cock, the silky hard length of him pulsing against my hand. "Serenity," he murmured. It sounded almost like a question, one I knew the perfect answer to. "Inside me," I said around another whimper. "Now." The two guys tugged down my pants together. Aaron rolled me over so I was facing Nate. As the bear shifter leaned in to kiss me on the mouth, my eagle stroked me between the legs from behind as Nate had before. He hummed happily as his fingers tested the moisture there. He dipped them into the hot, slick center of me, and I gasped against Nate's mouth. Then the head of Aaron's cock rubbed over my opening. I shuddered with pleasure, on the verge of losing it already. He eased inside me with a slow, steady thrust that sent a flare of pleasure through me. I'd never felt so complete as when he filled me. But Nate was still there with me too, kissing me through my moans, caressing my breasts, and then reaching down to massage my clit. Aaron plunged deeper into me from behind, holding my hips to steady them. The pressure inside me swelled with each pump of his cock and each motion of Nate's hands until it was almost unbearable. I had to give more of it back. I groped for Nate's jeans. He undid the fly with one quick movement. His hips jerked toward me as I slipped my hand inside. My fingers closed around his cock, just as hard and even bigger than Aaron's to match the bear shifter's massive frame. I moaned just at the feel of it. Gripping the silky skin tightly, I slid my hand up and down in time with Aaron's rhythm inside me. Pre-cum beaded on the tip. I slicked it down over his length. Nate groaned and crushed his mouth against mine. Aaron adjusted our angle so he filled me even more deeply. His shaft brushed that special spot inside me, and I felt myself careening toward the edge of total bliss. I squeezed Nate even harder, pumping faster, and he bucked his hips toward me. His kisses turned ragged, so did my breath. He rubbed my clit one last time, and my orgasm burst inside me like a firework. I came apart, clutching Nate's cock, and he followed me. A hot liquid spurt hit my stomach. Then Aaron was coming too,
with a few last jerks of his hips. He bit my shoulder as he spilled himself inside me. That mingling of pain and pleasure was enough to send me right back over the edge. We collapsed against each other, gasping and boneless. Nate brushed the sweat-damp hair from my forehead and pressed a kiss there.
"Our dragon shifter,"
he said, so tenderly my heart started to ache. Aaron grabbed his sleeping bag and pulled it over us like a blanket. I fell asleep like that, cuddled up between two of my mates, able to forget just for a little while that the hardest part of our journey might lie ahead of us. 8. Ren. "I think we're getting closer," I said, and then winced at how stupid that comment sounded. Of course we were getting closer, or all this walking was for nothing. What I really wanted to say was that we were close now. Over the course of the morning's hike through the cave, the tug inside me had strengthened to a yank. But I wasn't sure of what close meant to want to risk saying it, in case I was wrong. I could already imagine the look West would give me.
"For a place the Fae apparently used as a summer home, it could really use better lighting," Marco said dryly.
We left the last of the crevices in the ceiling behind a couple hours ago. Now the only light glowing off the rough walls was the beam of the flashlight Aaron was carrying. "Is that something the Fae do a lot?" I asked. It seemed safe enough to ask general questions about them. "Move around between homes?"
"Not unless they have specific business there," Aaron said. "Each of them usually has an affinity for one particular tree or pond, and their magic is weakened if they're away from it very long."
"If this mountain is special to the dragon shifters, it could have some meaning for the Fae, too,"
Nate pointed out. I thought about that memory I'd had, talking about the Fae with Mom. "Have you heard anything about the dragon shifters and the Fae, working together, or associating with each other somehow?" Aaron frowned.
"I haven't come across anything referring to a collaboration in the research I've done into our history. But that doesn't mean it never happened. There's plenty the dragons have kept to themselves. Why?"
"Oh, I just remembered my mom saying something about that. But she didn't know any details either from what she told me. When I wasn't even 5 yet. How much more might she have shared with me if I'd only known the truth when I was older?" The pain of that loss returned with a dull ache. It had been 7 years since I last saw her, but following her trail had made me feel as if she'd only just slipped from my grasp.
"It doesn't matter what the dragon shifters might have done once upon a time,"
West said darkly.
"You should steer clear of them."
"If they come to the mountain regularly, one of them might have seen my mom when she was here," I pointed out. "Even talked to her." He shook his head without meeting my gaze. In the dim light, his deep green eyes looked even more shadowed.
"It doesn't matter. They won't tell us anything unless they can use it to their advantage over us. Trust me. The only Fae I like is one that's at least 100 miles away, or dead."
There was a rough note in his voice, beneath the more typical bitterness. I peered at him from the corner of my eye as we tramped on. He'd obviously had personal dealings with the Fae in the past, dealings that had caused him a lot of pain. I wanted to ask more, but I had the feeling he'd bite my head off for prying. None of the other Alphas had argued with him. Even if they didn't have the same hate for the Fae, they mustn't have found his comments all that inaccurate, either. I shivered and rubbed my arms through the padded sleeves of my jacket. In that case, I hoped those shiny beings were now far, far away from here, too.
I guess I've got a lot of work ahead of me when we're done all this running around, I said. Nate stepped closer and took my hand in his large one. The smile he gave me brought back the memory.